This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is a proud member of the FanHub 100. Football without fans is nothing, so we've partnered with FanHub to put fans first. Search FanHub app to play your part in the journey.
The Custer's Black Podcast, whatever that is.
Hello and welcome back to Series 7, Episode 3 of the Custer's Black Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. For those who have listened to Episode 2 already, you'll know what is coming next, but for those of you that haven't, I'll be speaking to two more guests in Ben and Lee. Ben is returning. He's been on the podcast before and he's probably the most passionate fan I know, certainly for his age. Since he's probably been old enough to go on his own and certainly have a beer, it's not really been too good for him, to be honest with you, but hopefully that can now change. He actually stays with me for when we speak with Lee, and by the sounds of it, Lee's pretty much been there and done it all. And he also mentions the Anglo Italian Cup at one point. So he'll definitely be coming back on one point so we can talk all things that. So as I say before, thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy it. Let us know your thoughts and see you later. So, Ben, thanks for joining us, mate.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on again.
That's all right.
Yeah, most positive one for a while, I reckon. So.
Well, yeah, this is what I mean. Okay. I mean, how have you coped since last Tuesday?
I mean, to be fair, I think you said it on Twitter, I think. It took a while to sink in at first. And then I think it really did on Saturday, I think. Obviously, the sun was out, big crowd, local game, brilliant performance. I think that's when it really hit. I think everyone obviously rallied together. Brilliant game, brilliant performance, brilliant day out.
I still can't get over how good we are. Oh, we battered them.
No, it's mad. I mean, they barely had a sniff. Really impressed the new goalkeeper as well.
Yeah.
He wasn't really sort of tested with shot stopping, but I thought coming off his line, thought he was excellent. And obviously, I mean, that's a key thing in this league, especially with the amount of sort of crosses and set pieces. But yeah, he looked sharp. He was impressive. And I mean, Harry Caldwell scores again week after week.
Just inevitable, so, now, isn't it?
Yeah, inevitable. So.
The new goalie sort of gave me like Steve Arnold vibes. Do you know what I mean? He was quite big, imposing, claimed a lot.
Yeah.
Like, he just gave me that sort of vibe.
Yeah, he reminded me actually a bit of Christian Walton. So I was just a bit skinnier. But I mean, yeah, definitely Steve as well coming off his line. Because I mean, Steve was always really good from crosses and coming out, punching the ball, claiming the ball, commanding his area, which obviously, as I've already said, is something that you really need in this league.
Yeah, 100%. Well, I say, cheers for coming on, mate. The way we're going to do this is we're asking, because obviously we can be here all day talking about this. We're asking three sort of just random questions almost. The first one is going to be, so from that moment, then Ron said the clubs were sad. When was that? March, roughly, or something, mid-March? Up until, should we say, well, probably the Oxford game. What was your stance on, what was you doing? Was you a boycotter? Was you doing your own little sort of boycott? What was you doing?
To be fair, I was always a goer. I think, and I respect everyone who did boycott, and I completely understand why, and I salute you as to why. But I just couldn't sort of really imagine sort of like not going. I'm just such a big part of my life, and it's such a thing, sort of like week in, week out. It's a nice little escape every week, and obviously see friends and see family. I couldn't imagine sort of not going. And like, particularly near the end, I was thinking, like, sort of, could you imagine if we did go under and we did get liquidated. And let's say you weren't at the last few games, I just don't think I could sort of ever really sort of forgive myself for that, I think. And I just thought I wouldn't let Ron ruin sort of going to football. I mean, he did quite a few times, but yeah, I think overall, really, I think I just had to be there. So
yeah, I won't repeat myself. I did mention this yesterday, but there was a moment when I drove past the ground when the game was on. I had it on the radio, and that was tough. I did sort of think, yeah, what am I doing this for, really? So I'm just sort of spiting myself, really. But I did continue to boycott. Well, but I say that, I didn't pay money. So if people gave me free ticket, like you sorted me a ticket for one game, so your friend didn't go, so that was appreciated. But yeah, it was tough. And I think most people who were boycotting, when we spoke to them, they were struggling a bit. You know, some have been doing it for years, and then people probably used to it, but a lot of people only just started doing it in the last, obviously, well, this season, and it's tough. It's tough.
Yeah. I think it is, especially when the team are doing so well. I mean, it would have been easy to boycott, for example, sort of the 1920 season when we were in League One and getting battered week in, week out. But when you have a team that's sort of so connected to the fans and management staff and, yeah, the players, all the staff at the ground, and obviously outside the ground, everyone works so hard just to get a team out, to get games on. Obviously, it's good to go. So to show their support, and it must have been hard sort of staying away.
Yeah, it's a strange one. It's the most connected, I think, the fans have been with the club through in such troubled times. It's strange, you know. There was moments when we obviously won the playoffs in League Two, and we had a good team pushing for the playoffs then, and you never really felt that. You was connected, but you didn't feel almost like you. It's weird. I feel like I know these players, and I don't. I don't think I've met any, but I feel like I know these players. You know, it's such a strange bond, and I think that has been made probably by the management at the start. Well, everyone really just saying, right, we've got to stick together here.
Yeah, and I think obviously it's such a small squad. They are all fighting for each other, and I think unlike teams that we had in the past, even if you look back at that Love team, it was a great team and there was some great characters, but there were some big egos in that team. I don't think there are any egos in this team at the moment. Everyone knows what it means to play for the badge and put on the shirt week in, week out. And I think, obviously, they connect with our fans and they understand. And yeah, I think, like I said, it's such a small squad. You get used to each other and they are all fighting for each other. I don't think we've ever seen a team work so hard and cover so much ground. And which is even more incredible when they can't train properly, and I mean, there's barely any of them. So yeah, it's just really impressive, and I think obviously they appreciate the support as well.
Yeah, definitely. There doesn't seem to be any egos in it. I think they'll probably go down as certainly cult figures in their own right. It's not, you know. Moving on from that, it's a bit of a tricky one. It's not that tricky, but so during that period of when Kimura pulled out, and before this consortium came along and it sounded like it was going to happen, what did you genuinely think was going to happen?
To be honest, I mean, I had no idea. I mean, pretty much from the moment Matt Slater published the article saying Kimura were obviously named a consortium and named a company and named a consortium and obviously revealed some of these plans, I pretty much, from a moment after that, basically chose to believe next to nothing, because I thought there's going to be so many rumours. I mean, Shrimper Zone is bad enough in the summer. I've dread to think how many messages and threads and exchanges there were over Shrimper Zone. So to be honest, I just chose not to really believe anything unless it came from not even sort of like a close source that like I might know, like unless it came from pretty much Chris and it was in black and white. I didn't really choose to believe anything, and it was worrying times because it was pretty much radio silence. I mean, until sort of from the period that obviously Kimura pulled out or it all went really quiet, which I mentioned was probably around sort of July time, until whenever we played Bromley, which would have been, I don't know what, early September time, maybe late August. Obviously, that was pretty much radio silence, and that was when you then start thinking, okay, right, we're probably in trouble here. And obviously managed to get adjournments. I don't know how, but obviously managed to get adjournments. Then obviously getting closer and closer to D-Day. Then somehow in the South End way, obviously did it the very last minute. So
yeah, it's again without repeating myself. There was two options for me. It was either liquidation or administration. The further it went, and like I say, it was radio silence. I just couldn't see a way out of it. And even when these guys came along, I just thought it was too little too late. I thought, no, this isn't going to happen. And fortunately, that it wasn't the case. I mean, I don't know what I would do without Southend. I don't know what I would do. I mean, I like doing a bit of ground hopping. I'm trying to do the 92, but you can only do that for so many games until that wears off. So, you know, I don't even want to think what life would or could be like without the club.
I think it's a pretty unimaginable thought, really. I mean, when we lost to York away and obviously went down to 9 men, the players looked shat and stuff like that. I reckon that's probably the lowest I've felt. And that was when I did genuinely then think, I thought, this is it, we're done. Just because I think, obviously, the emotions on the day and everything. But 100%. But I think it is just an unimaginable thought. I don't think anyone can sort of, I mean, I would say nobody can compare, but obviously you've got the likes of Berry and teams like Darlington and stuff like that, who obviously rebuilt themselves with clubs, but I mean, it's still not the same. They still lost a massive profile and probably a chunk of their fan base. But yeah, you can't think about it because, I mean, it's what, 46 games in the season plus cup games and stuff like that. You think it's such a big part of everyone's life, and a lot of people use it as a release. I mean, a lot of people to use it to see friends and family and stuff like that. It's there. Like, I've probably got like a couple of good friends for life just from going to Southend. And I mean, I've got pictures up in my room and stuff like that. It is an unimaginable thought. You can't think what it would be like. You can't think what you'd do. Can't think how you'd feel. And I think similar to sort of like the takeover news or the agreement news, I think it would take probably quite a while to sink in, really, because it's obviously been a big part of many people's lives. I mean, mine pretty much since the minute I was born. I think I was actually registered as the youngest ever junior blue. at some point, I don't know whether it's still the case, but so I've literally grown up supporting Southend. And I've got a picture up here of me in a baby growth. It would have been after the the playoff final in 2005, when we beat Lincoln 2-0.
Yeah,
Lincoln 2-0. Yeah, so it was after that, and I would have been just over. No, not even one. And yeah, it's just such a big part of your life. I don't think you can ever really sort of comprehend what it would be like without it.
Absolutely, mate. Absolutely. Just going back to what you said there about the lowest you felt, that's mine as well with York. You know, the whole situation of what was going on at the time, obviously the game. I mean, we played well. So the game itself, like, in terms of the performance, that was fine. Obviously, the ref, being a ref, completely killing the game. I'm not having a go at York here. They can only play what's in front of them. But when that third went in, and seeing the reaction of their fans, you know, they were loving it. And then I looked around at our sort of fans, I looked at the dugout, I looked at the pitch, and I actually could have cried. I didn't, but I could have cried. Ooh. Because it was such, everything sort of got on top of me at once. Does that make sense? I just looked around the situation, I was like, wow, yeah, this is a York or a club that have just been bought out, got a new owner. All right, they weren't doing great at the time, but, you know, new ground. Shit ground, should have, but everything. I was like, wow,
everything seemed to be going against us.
It just went wrong that day. Obviously emotions then boiled over stuff, but going back to what you said about friendships you made, you know, my closest friendship right now is people I go football with. I've met some great people, funny enough, through the last probably 12 months, through the whole sort of you know, the protesting and the, you know, what can we do to try and move them out as quickly as possible? You know, people from the trust, you know, people from the protest group, you know, all at sea, everyone. I've made some really good friends as a result of this. So it's strange. It is strange that
every cloud.
I was talking to someone about this, and it's, I can't describe it. It's like we've tried so hard with this stuff. Just try every little thing we can do to get rid of it. And he's finally going. And it almost feels like, what do we do next? do we just go back to supporting the club now? But, it's a strange feeling. You almost feel a bit empty in a weird way.
Yeah, it is a weird one. Because I just said, well, never thought it would happen. Obviously, it did eventually, sort of towards the end, or more of a hope than probably thinking it would happen. But yeah, I just think obviously he's not gone yet. Which obviously it's still a slight concern, but you'd like to think that obviously the agreement's in place and he's surely not stupid enough to stay. So I mean, obviously when the consortium does come in, I don't think we'll have anything to do with the club apart from obviously sort of the probably the Fossetts, obviously housing estate, which I imagine will probably have some sort of clause or something to do with the club, but obviously he won't be involved in the running or the funding of the club, which is the most important thing.
Or making any decisions.
Oh, yeah. I mean, to be fair, if I had him my way, I'd probably put Tom as chairman, because I think Tom probably made most of the decisions anyway. Obviously with Ron's sign off, and actually there's probably quite a few decisions that Ron did make, but I don't think a new chairman would obviously act in this, or I'd hope a new chairman wouldn't act in the same way as Ron. And I just think, is there too much point in a chairman instead of having a consortium and then just CEO underneath them? I just don't know. I just truthfully don't really know sort of what the difference would be between sort of a CEO and then hypothetically, let's say, Justin as a chairman. But I guess obviously hopefully, we might find out their plans. I wouldn't be surprised when the keys are handed over to hear sort of a really detailed statement of their plans, because I think they're probably quite keen on being as transparent as possible, as obviously we've had that missing as a fan base for years. So,
yeah, that move is quite on nicely, actually. So this one is quite an open-ended one, but I mean, where do you think the club, where do we go from here? What does the future hold?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Without obviously knowing the plans of the consortium, or like detailed plans of the consortium, obviously it's fairly difficult to answer. But I mean, by all accounts, they're not sort of people that are gonna throw millions and millions at the club. And I think they're all very well established businessmen who all have a common interest in the club. Obviously, many Southend fans in the consortium, and yeah, I just think it's obviously hard to tell at the moment. But I imagine, they've said that they want to get the embargo lifted as soon as possible. And get the embargo lifted, let's say, in 3 weeks' time, when we're only 8 points off the playoffs. It would be very Southend to do it, wouldn't it? But obviously, if we go from November the 1st, we could get some solid players in. Obviously, have a budget, which would help, because realistically, under Ron, we'd only been signing anyone, but he wasn't going to sort of fork out a particular amount of cash for a player. But I think we could obviously get some good players in. I wouldn't be surprised again to see quite a number come through the door when the embargo is lifted in probably the week or so after that, because I think Kevin Steele and the management team are probably going to be lining people up as soon as possible, really. It'll be interesting to see sort of how we cope with new bodies and how we adapt. Because obviously it's a group that's been together for so long. It'll be interesting to see how they adapt. And obviously playoffs is possible. I don't think anyone will be disappointed if we don't get in the playoffs. Again, similar to last season, I think we can do it, but obviously it depends on sort of bodies and injuries and fitness levels. And then with regards to sort of like moving forward as a club, again, I wouldn't be surprised to see immediate sort of renovations at Roots Hall, but sort of minor stuff like the toilets in the east stand.
As I said, just cleaning it.
Yeah, just cleaning it. Just making it a more pleasant match day experience. I wouldn't be surprised to see that this season. And I feel obviously next season might see some sort of larger scale work. It depends on obviously planning permission and stuff like that. But I think the good thing about this consortium is they've probably got the council on side. So obviously any plans to sort of have going forward should be easier to get past that roadblock than Ron found in the past.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it'd be interesting to see if we go in for players that we obviously wanted in the last, say, 12 months, but have gone on elsewhere. Mm-hmm. It'd be interesting to see if we go back in for them. They might be out of favour, one or two of them. I don't know how, for example, was it Paul McCallum, isn't it, at Eastleigh? Mm-hmm. I don't know how he's getting on, but I know we were at least having a talk. Oh, did he? Oh, well,
there
you go.
Weekend before, all the weekend before, he scored a hat trick recently. But yeah,
fair, I forget that one. But yeah. You know what I mean? There must be a couple of players that have gone, and it's just not worked out wherever they are. So it would be interesting to see if we go in for them players. It's final one. If you could send a message, or if Kevin, the management, the players are in front of you right now, what would you say to
them? I don't think we've got enough time for me to say what I really feel. But I think it would just be just a massive thank you for perseverance. Because I mean, we all know, I mean, look at what happened with Kasper. Obviously, there was a breach of contract there, which I assume probably was the case with a lot of other players and members of staff. It would have been so easy for them to walk, and on very solid grounds. I don't think many people would have blamed them. But they stuck here, they persevered. They worked under extreme sort of like pressure, and obviously restraints, not being able to do what they want to do. And yeah, I mean, the players, obviously, week in, week out, they always gave 100%, which is all we can ask for as fans. The management team, again, they stuck with us and stayed connected with the fan base. And even like match day staff, commercial staff, media staff, again, keeping the club as informed as possible and still working very hard behind the scenes to get money into the club, no matter how big or small, getting like sort of match days on, even the stewards and obviously sort of like the people that work in the kitchen, club shop, ticketing services, they all played a massive part in the club surviving. So just as a thank you, I think that's it.
Yeah, very well put, mate. I think it's you make a good point there on the power. You know, I actually can't remember what your stance on it was, but mine was always, you know, that if he wants to leave and there's a breach of contract, got nothing against that. But you make a really good point there if everyone else stayed. And I say that they will go down as maybe even legends in their own right, maybe. And that does include staff. You know, the power will be a what if. You know, what if, you know, some people will hate him, some people won't care for him. I personally don't care either way. But yeah, they've made a name for themselves in their own right. Everyone behind the scenes, you said commercially, I don't know how we do it. I don't know how they do
neither. It. Neither. Because it's not like sort of bringing a player in when you think, oh, okay. So realistically, you probably will get paid. Obviously, they went a couple of months without being paid, but you probably will get paid. Obviously, eventually, you're the priority. Whereas, I mean, commercial deals and stuff like that, it's really like, can you imagine sponsoring sort of a club that's been in court, obviously, what, 3-4 times this year, numerous debts. And yeah, I don't know how they do it, but again, that's testament to people like Reese and Riley and everyone else behind the scenes who work so hard to get deals over the line.
Absolutely, 100%. 100%. Well, yeah, thanks for joining us, but you'll be staying and we'll move swiftly on.
Yeah. Yeah. No worries. Thanks, Ed.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Evening.
Oh, there we go. How you doing, mate? You all right?
Yeah, all right. Yeah, not too bad. You okay?
Yeah, all good, thanks. All good. Cheers for joining us.
No, that's all right, mate. My pleasure. I've always listened to the show and that, so I always see you about the games. Only happy to come and chat some stuff for a bit.
Making your custard splat debut as well, like a few others we had on this evening.
Custard splat debut, mate. I remember the kit. That's enough, Jesus.
Oh, it's a classic, mate. Come on, it's a classic.
Yeah, classic. It gets bandied about a lot, that word, doesn't it? Yeah.
it's in the similar bracket to the kit I'm wearing now. It's sort of, I like it for the wrong reasons.
Honestly, I've been doing this since 1982. That's probably the best kit ever.
Yeah, it's Christ.
It's up there with a high tech kit. So I've got one. I've got a 1990 shirt, but that's probably the best. I thought that Hummel kit. Amazing.
All of them. Hey, Hummel, isn't it?
It's a shame we. Decided to not pay him.
Yeah. It's a Mosley kit, isn't it? Oh, man, painful.
That sounds good, what I mean. Ex-chairman, sounds good. He's not gone yet, but he's on his way out. So.
It's amazing. That's amazing.
But I say, yeah, cheers for joining us, mate. We're sort of trying to keep it a bit sort of brief, almost. We're asking 3 or 4 questions that are a bit broad, but just for your, I guess, opinions and on what you was maybe doing at the time. So we're going to start and take you back to about mid-March of this year, when obviously you announced the club was up for sale. Between that time and probably the Oxford game, what was your stance? Was you going to games? Was you boycotting? Was you refusing
to go to XYZ? I know there was a lot of chat, and it's one of them. I don't think there was a wrong answer.
Nah.
So I've been going since 1982. Barely missed a home game in that time. 70-odd away grounds. I go with my dad. I go with my son. And now I go with my daughter. And I'll be damned if I was going to let someone like Rat Boy stop me doing that. Do you know what I mean? Because as sad as it sounds, we weren't for Southend. I don't think I'd spend that much time with my son or my dad. Do you know what I mean? My dad drives down from Ipswich for every game. No way I was going to let Rat Boy stop me doing that. And again, I respect anyone who could stay away or boycott or do whatever they wanted. But for me, no way I was going to let him stop me. I went in spite of him, really. Do you know what I mean? So the football's irrelevant.
I think you're right. A lot of people said a similar thing. It's that it's what they do, but it's also that connection with friends and family. You know, that's what brought them to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's not just them. My best mate of 40-odd years and his son. And do you know what I mean? It's just, you know, the whole gang of us. So, I couldn't stop going. When I announced the sale, it was just buzzing, wasn't it? You're like, well, that's a start. And, so it bloody hell, it seemed a long time, didn't it? But, so that's how I felt about the boycotting type thing.
How did you feel... When you was going to the games, did you feel different? And the reason I say that is because of what everything was going off the pitch, did it kind of tarnish your experience or not really?
Massively, because you know what it's been like. We haven't functioned. We haven't been signing a left back. I haven't been able to talk about a centre midfielder. What's our third best striker? None of that came into it. Have the players been played? Have we got enough players? When are we in court again? So it changes, you know. You listen to other supporters of other clubs talking, moaning about a right back. I'd love it. I'd love it if that had been the case under Rob, but it's just been farcical. So, you know, I still, and don't get me wrong, you know, sometimes it was just misery.
I think it definitely changed mine. I think it was weird. Like, I mean, almost at the start of the season, I mean, past probably the Dagenham game, I think it was almost just a weird feeling. I think, because obviously I don't think anyone expected us to win 4-0 on the first game of the season against Oldham. So that was just pure shock. And obviously first game of the season, top of the league, it was brilliant. And the Dagenham game the week after, winning 2-0 away at Dagenham, didn't really get better than that, sold out away and top of the league. And then after that, I think it's sort of just, obviously we lost Dorking, but I think it sort of just became numb because you sort of think, oh, we haven't played badly. It's not like the players haven't tried. You just became sort of numb to it. And, you know, there was only sort of one person to blame.
Yeah. There was a fragility to the squad, and there still is. We're trying to scrape a team together for Saturday, aren't we? And that's the FA Cup.
Yeah.
There's a fragility to our squad still. The goalkeeper we had at Woking, well, he turned up in the morning, didn't he?
He
rocked up Saturday morning to play, and it's like, it's still to this day, what's going on? So it's tricky. Yeah.
Did well, though. Did really well, I think.
Yeah, Woking was good. Yeah.
You made a point there about sort of feeling numb to it. You're right. It's the wins felt great. I felt, when we won, it felt great. But when we lost, it just I almost didn't care. didn't care about the losses because I couldn't care. There's more important things to worry about. You know, I'm watching. I was about to say 16 players. It's not even that. I'm watching 14 players, whatever it is. Give their all, and that's great. And sometimes they came up short. So if you lost, I didn't really give a toss. I was like, "Well, thanks for trying."
Yeah, I think normally because go on, Lou. Sorry.
No, please. After you, please.
I think it's because normally you almost sort of like you look for someone to blame. You think, oh, it's like the manager's fault, or it's the player's fault, or it's the referee's fault, and you realise like so it's not their fault at all. It just comes down to one man. You just almost leave the ground thinking, oh, I'm not disappointed we've lost. I'm more excited about sort of going out and having a beer with friends and stuff like that. Whereas in sort of like the back end of last season, you know, when we went on that really bad losing run, when you're coming out of games, so sort of upset. And that was because, again, it wasn't because you're blaming anyone. It's just, it was different. I mean, you sort of had some sort of hope for, obviously, well, we win this game, we'll be back in the playoffs and stuff like that. But I mean, just grateful that we're out of the relegation zone now and hopefully on the up.
Yeah, it's almost perverse that for me, in all, you know, 40 odd years, this is, for me, it's one of the best groups of players in my life, just because of their dedication, their commitment, the rubbish they've had to go through, and their effort. And you know, it's been phenomenal watching them boys try so hard, just trying as hard as I would if I was playing. Do you know what I mean? So that it's been perverse that we've had that group of players, such woeful situation off the field.
Definitely. So moving on to our next question, there was that period, obviously, when Kimura sort of officially pulled out. And I guess just before this new consortium were announced that they were getting together. So there was that period of uncertainty between. What did you genuinely and honestly think was going to happen to the club?
It's all right if I go. This is going to sound terrible. I thought we were done for at one point. I really thought, because normally you hear, we all know a few pods, don't we, at the club? And I've been drip-fed plenty of goss over this time. The penultimate court case where the judge said, oh God, this is going to sound, I'm going to tell you, I don't care. I was brushing my teeth one night, looking through some pictures of going to football. I had tears coming out of my face. I'm brushing my teeth, snot bubbles. I just thought it had gone. I thought it was gone. And that's, Southend is part of my very soul and my very being. So I feel the worst often. And it was, it was killing me, man. It was killing me. Yeah.
It was just, like you say, it was the uncertainty. It was almost, I was talking to friends about it and they were saying, I just want to know what's happening now. Even if it is bad news, just get it over and done with.
Yeah. Put a bullet in it. I don't care.
Yeah. No, it was literally that. It was like, just tell us now, because there was no point in almost delaying the inevitable at the time. And that's what it felt like. It felt like it was delaying the inevitable. But obviously we got away from it. But yeah, you talking about there, you had tears, you know, I was talking to Ben just before this saying, without repeating myself too much, at that York game, I could have cried. I didn't, but I could have cried. It was just watching it crumble.
That was a day. Because the players looked upset. That was the thing that got you. Players were in bits, and it was like
everyone looked broken. Everyone just looked broken. And I think the thing that summed it up was, I mean, normally 3-0 down, long way home, you'd expect almost half the crowd to empty out. I reckon probably 90-95% of the people were still there, still singing, still showing their support for the players. Because, I mean, as fans, we get it, and I think the players do as well. It's almost like we're one big family. Me and Eden were saying how connected the fan base is with the players and vice versa. I think they just get it. And obviously now I think they've probably got as much of a boost as we have.
Is there anyone, you said you've been going for about 40-odd years, is there, and you mentioned these being probably one of your favourite teams, has there ever been another team that's come close to showing this sort of dedication? I mean, obviously, players are dedicated, but you know they do seem like a special bunch.
Well, yeah, it's tough, isn't it? You think of the past, you always think of the promotion teams, players, individuals, Adam Barrett, people like that, David. You know, I go back, but if I'm brutally honest, I still think, given the circumstances that this lot have had, I think most of them would have just jogged on. If any of these current team down tools and gone in the last year and a half, no one could have blamed them. But they didn't. And to me, I'll put them up there with any legends you want. I'll put any of them. Cav, Cardwell, whoever, Ollie, the rubbish they've been through. That's their job. And they're not getting paid big money, are they? You know, it's National League money. So for me, they go tip-top just for... I've never known it. I've never known it like this. And like I said, I've seen it all. But yeah, I've got to put these boys at the top. And it's not that they're the best. We've had better players than Cav Miley. We've had better players than, you know, Cardwell. We've had much better players. But wow, just this bond, I can't... It's hard to describe. It's a bit soppy, but...
No, right. It is, right. It's spot on. Because, I mean, if you think back to, what was it, 2009, 2010, seeing we got relegated from League One, we had all those issues, and the following season, everyone jumped ship, one ran off, and we started pre-season with, what was it, four or five players?
Barrack season. God, yeah.
Grant was pretty much one of the only ones who stuck around, if not the only one, could be wrong. But, I mean, yeah, and obviously circumstances are similar-ish, and yeah, I mean, look at the amount of people that have stuck around. Obviously, Casper's the only one that's gone, and I don't think anyone can blame him.
Can't blame him.
Others are ready to stay and fight, but I mean, he's doing well. He's obviously at Barnsley. He's got himself a good mood. Obviously, you're always getting paid on time, which is a bonus. I mean, I think this squad is probably up there with the most... Not even up there. It is the most dedicated squad I've ever seen. I mean, I've only been watching 13 years, but... Still, I mean, in that time, I mean, the only ones that would come close would be probably the team that most at Wembley against Wickham, but that's just because they just dug in. But like you said, a lot of those, they were quality, but I think, like you said, I don't know how many of those players would have persevered with what's gone on the last 2 years or so.
Ryan Leonard wouldn't have put up with that. Ryan Leonard would have just gone. He would have just walked out. And I don't blame him. You know what I'm saying? It's just like that. And yet somehow, I don't know why, they must be mad. If you didn't pay me, I'd leave my job in a heartbeat. So, yeah, it's one of them, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. So, obviously, that Oxford home game, the news broke sort of, you know, midday, 4 o'clock that day, whether it was. I'm not going to ask you how you felt, because it's kind of an obvious. We know how we all felt. It was relief. It was just that. Thank God he's going or whatnot, you know. Still, there's still that tiny element of doubt, maybe, because it's not 100%, but, you know, let's remain positive. I'm going to kind of jump the gun a bit then and say, you know, what does the future hold for you, you know, sort of short, long and medium term?
Just some stability, normalcy, moaning about a midfielder, moaning about our shit the right back it. Do you know what I mean? I don't ask for much. You know, signing some players, giving Kev some tools, because I think it's scary. I think we're going to get in the playoffs. I've got no doubt about it. I watch us week in, week out, and I think put four or five players to rotate, tactically change things. I've got no worries. We're 8 points off the playoffs. Mate, if we're not in the playoffs, I'll eat me out. I'm telling you. I've got no worries on that front. Just stability. And like I say, just a normalcy. Talk about a player now and again.
I love that optimism. I absolutely love that. You know, you're not the only one to say that playoffs are on. You know, Ben, you saw it, didn't you, saying, well, it's there. Why not? I agree as well. Why not? You're bang on. You signed five players that I'm going to assume are going to be top quality for this level, or at least quality for this level. We've probably only got about two signings wrong in the last, 2 years? I mean, we couldn't sign him for a year, but you get my point.
Look who they brought in. Just been, I don't know. I always feel a bit, I don't know. I don't know if it's anger or something. I think all these muggy little clubs, I'm standing there woking. I'm standing opposite a shed and they've got like 300. I'm like, no. I'm telling you. HMS piss the league in it. We're off, mate. I'm telling you.
What about Root Sewell then? What are your thoughts on staying at Root? I mean, it's everyone's dream, it really, to stay. But what are your thoughts on what's going to happen with that?
Yeah, of course. Look, That's my literally my second home, like literally. My first love was Roots Hall, do you know what I mean? When I was 5 years old. Yeah, it'd be nice to see it get tarted up a bit. You'd never know, do you? Because you don't know the plans. In my mind, I've redeveloped Roots Hall a million times. Do you know what I mean? I've knocked that east stand down so many times, it's dust. Do you know what I mean? I think we've got room around there to build. You don't know what the budget is, do you? I'd want to go mad. I'd take the roof off the west because, you know, I sit in the west and it's like, you can't, the view is awful. you know, I'm going to Spurs on Sunday for the NFL and it's just phenomenal. I don't know. I'm glad to stay at Roots Hall. I'm glad to stay at Roots Hall because it's just a hard minute, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Lee, would you like to see home fans in the North Bank, back in the North Bank?
You see, that was my manner in North Bank. Bloody hell. But, you know, when that was terracing, so I spent years of my life on that North Bank. It's weird. It depends. I've gone back when it's sitting. It's just never the same, is it? Being on the North Bank in the year 2002 was not the same as being on the North Bank in 1987. It just wasn't. So it's a tricky one. It's your spiritual home, I suppose. It's a way. It's where you put the away fans, isn't it? Because that Fairfax entrance is handy. But yeah, I'd give it a go. Also, yeah, I'd give it a go.
I'm sure you can put all 50 of the average attendance away fans in one little block.
And that's the thing, isn't it? When everyone else is bringing 50 supporters, I mean, put them in a box in the east. Yeah, you know I mean,
I don't mean to disrespect teams like because you know, I go to a lot of non-league grounds or proper lower league grounds and I love it, I really do, but it's
of course.
It is disheartening when we've gone to play all in probably the space of what 3 years, well more now, but Sunderland and Leeds and
I know.
And they make people will moan and say, oh, yeah, they have this, that, and the other, but it makes for good atmospheres and it makes for a good game. Absolutely. We don't get that.
Yeah, look, when Oldham came down, I bought 600. It was brilliant. Yeah. You know, that's what you want, isn't it? It's what you want.
Yeah, 100%. One final one. If he was in front of Kev and the management and the players right now, and the whole club, really, what would you say to him?
Just a genuine... I'm very lucky. We sponsored players last season, so I've done sponsors evening with... All I ever said to any of them was just thank you. Just thanks for... literally holding it all together somehow. Literally plodding on through this absolute garbage from Ron. It is just literally thank you just for seeming to care as much as we do. And as a football supporter, I think that's all you ever ask for, isn't it? Do that lot care as much as I do? I think we're very lucky that the answer is yes. And that's it. It would just be a thank you.
Yeah, very well. You're bang on, really. There's a lot of people that work at that club and support it. And I think, especially when you've got Thomas, obviously CEO, and then when you've got someone like a legend like Kev, who's then sort of running the team, you know, he's the figure of the 11, whatever you want to call it, you know, that really does, you know, transpire.
Absolutely. I'll stick some statues up, mate, as far as I'm concerned. You know what I mean? Bit of Kev, bit of Tom. Without Tom, there'd be no club. Without Tom Lawrence, there is no Southend United. It's as simple as it's simple as that. And that needs to be recognised big time. In my eyes, just for me. But, you know, the things Tom has done, he's put his own money in for crying out loud. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, 100%, mate. Bang on. Well, thanks for joining us here, mate. As so always, keeping it short, we just wanted to get a couple of fans' opinions on the way. You know,
my pleasure. My absolute pleasure. Thank you for letting me chat.
No, that's right. Great. So we'll have to get you back on for a proper feature where we actually talk about the football rather than all the other shit that goes on behind it.
I could bore you about the 80s. Go on, yeah.
Oh, mate, I'm all for it. Have you got stories about, did you ever go to the Anglo-Italian Cup games? Or?
Of course, God, yeah. I spoke to Stan Collymore about it once, God, he scored and he's up on the fence. There's a great photo that was on social media. I couldn't get up on the fence. Other people read it, but I was groping his knee. Oh, that's weird. I know. But I played to fame. I groped Stan Collymore's knee. That's it, there you go.
We'll have to get you involved for them stories, and I'm sure there's plenty of stories from them sort of times.
Any time, yeah. But, and real good stuff with the podcast as well. Custer's
always like,
brilliant.
Yeah, cheers, mate. We're just happy to get it back going and say now we can just talk football. Yeah. And as I say, we can talk about a signing, maybe someone not being that good. Or something,
yeah, but we can slag Cano off in a month's time. We'll say, what was he? Yeah.
Oh, dear. Right. Well, anyway, mate. Lovely.
Cheers. Right, good night. Thank you. See you later.
Thanks, Lou.
Thanks, mate. All right.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.